So this message might be a little bit shorter. I'll give that preview. But that's probably okay, right? Because it's Mother's Day. You guys are like heading out. And I don't know. I don't know what the plans are. But and I have a title this morning. And Chris is also sick this morning. Should pray for him as well. But I feel, you know, I don't usually have a title. And Chris is our man who puts everything online, has a title. And so he always comes up with a title. But this morning I do have a title. So that's very exciting. And my title this morning is Mother Your Soul. Mother Your Soul. We use the word mother sometimes as a verb, right? Like, you're mothering me. Right? And often we use it kind of negatively, right? Like, don't mother me. Like, kind of means something like, don't be overprotective, don't hover, don't be a helicopter, you know, that kind of thing. Don't mother me. But this morning, we're gathered and we want to honor mothers this morning on Mother's Day. And I want to use this verb, to mother, in a positive way. And I want to call us into this psalm, Psalm 131. And I want to call us to mother ourselves, to mother our souls, or however you want to say it. It's the same kind of thing. So I've been reading through the book of Leviticus in the Bible in my devotions recently. And I've got a Leviticus talk coming, which I'm excited about. It'll be my first Leviticus talk. And if you're not familiar with kind of the different books of the Bible, Leviticus is one of the books of the law right at the beginning. And it can be somewhat, you know, detailed and slow to get through at times. And so I've been kind of supplementing Leviticus with reading from the Psalms, which are, you know, beautiful poetry and songs. And so I'm right now reading through what are called the Songs of Ascents, or the Songs of Steps. It's this going up journey. And the Songs of Ascents are situated in a context of the people of Israel going up toward the city of Jerusalem, which is where the temple was, which is where they worshiped Yahweh, where they offered sacrifices to him. And it's a song as they make their pilgrimage toward Jerusalem. They call one another to remember the goodness of God and trust in him, and have faith in him. And that's kind of what struck me this time as I've been reading through these songs of ascents, that there are so many different calls through them to trust, to have faith in the Lord. And there's beautiful pictures about this too. And I've really felt encouraged by them. And so let me read a few of them. I again, this was a little bit last minute, so I don't think I have these on the slides, and I probably also won't give you enough time to flip there because they're just quick ones. So if you want to just jot them down, you can look them up later. Like Phil Can, some of us have heard Phil Can speak here. He says, write it down so you can check later and make sure I'm not lying, right? So you're free to do that. So Psalm 121, 1, this one's a pretty well-known song. I lift up my eyes to the mountains, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Beautiful call to trust. Where does my help come from? Oh, the one who made all these mountains. He is my help. Or Psalm 123, verse 2. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord, to Yahweh our God, till he shows us his mercy. Again, this picture of utter dependence, of a slave looking to a master and say, that's the kind of dependence we have on God. We look to him, we wait for him until he shows us mercy. We depend on him. Another beautiful picture of trust. Psalm 124, verses 2 and 3. If the Lord, if Yahweh had not been on our side, when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. Like, if we didn't have God, we would have been toast. We would have been crushed. But he was on our side. He took our part. He defended us. And so we weren't. A beautiful picture of trust and God's deliverance. Or Psalm 125, verses 1 to 2. Those who trust in Yahweh are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so Yahweh surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. I was reading this one and looking outside and thought, this is a great song for someone living in Terrace. You know, you could just look up and say, you know, like Terrace Mountain, established forever, you know. That's what the people who trust in God are like. Or you just look around. I remember when we moved up here, that was what, surrounded by mountains, right? So that's how God surrounds us and protects us. A beautiful thing if those who trust in the Lord are surrounded and protected by him. Or Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless Yahweh, God, the Lord, builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless Yahweh watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Again, a beautiful picture of acknowledging how helpless we are really by ourselves. But as we trust the Lord, then there is hope that we will be protected, that we will be guarded, that the things that he calls us to won't be in vain, that he will give us the strength to accomplish the things that he's called us to. Or Psalm 130, verse 7, 8. This is a psalm that talks about, you know, our sin and our need for forgiveness. And it ends, Israel, put your hope in Yahweh, for with Yahweh is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Again, hope in the Lord, trust in the Lord, wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you, even from your own sins. Beautiful. So I've been encouraged by these psalms as I've been reading through them lately. I'm reminded to lean on God and to trust him at all times. It's so easy to say that kind of thing, I know. But sometimes it takes some of these beautiful pictures to really instill that in us and say, oh yeah, God is good and he is worthy and he is able and I can trust him. And so it's been beautiful doing that. And then we come to Psalm 131, which is where we are today. And it's our kind of Mother's Day psalm today because it has this language of a mother. And so let's read that. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. We're all reading in different English translations. That's great. Might say something a bit different, but this is what it says. It might even say something different that I'm reading on the screen. I'm not sure. But anyway, a song of ascents of David. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. It's three verses. That's why it's going to be short. Beautiful, though. And so let's just walk through these kind of three different verses, these three different parts. The first says, O Lord, or O Yahweh, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I don't occupy myself, or literally, I don't walk among things that are too great and too marvelous for me. I think we can read that sometimes, I can anyway, and it feels almost like apathetic. Does anyone hear that when you hear that? Like apathetic, it almost sounds like he's saying, you know, I'll never amount to anything. I won't imagine anything great. I won't explore or learn or be curious. And if you were raised like I was on Dr. Seuss, right, or Disney movies, that's like the worst heresy, you know. You can think it, you can imagine anything, you can do it, great things. You just need a dream and you go for it. But the psalmist isn't saying that he's apathetic. He's saying that he isn't arrogant or proud or haughty. This kind of metaphor of height is often used in the Bible to talk about being proud, being lifted up, being thinking of ourselves too much. And so he says, yeah, my eyes, my heart, they're not high up. They're not lofty. I'm not trying to exalt myself. And then he recognizes, you know, there are things that are too great and wonderful for him to just kind of walk along with among as a peer, as it were. There are things that are far above him. And he says, I'm not putting myself in that place. I know I'm not way up here. I know there are things that I don't even begin to examine. I'm not exalting myself. He's saying that he's humble before God. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that still seems a little defeating because I think we do kind of have this thirst for, you know, achieving something great, especially maybe today, I don't know. But it isn't apathy. It's not hopelessness. It's humility. It's a true recognition of our finiteness and our lowliness. But the thing is, Christian humility, or I guess in the case of the psalmist, you know, the humility of the one who trusts in Yahweh, isn't hopeless. It's not apathetic. It's not like nothing awesome will ever happen because God is in the picture. So I am not trying to exalt myself. I'm not trying to get myself up to this level. I'm not trying to, you know, achieve this great thing by myself. But God is in the picture. And when God is in the picture, he transforms the picture so that because of God, these great things can happen. So let me give you a couple examples. I didn't attend Youth Getaway or YG. If you're wondering what YG stands for, Youth Getaway. There you go. Not youth group. Not youth conference. Anyway, that wasn't in my notes. I didn't attend YG. I was off with our newborn. But I did. I've heard some reports already. I'm looking forward to Tuesday at youth group when I get to hear testimonies from our youth about what God was doing. But I did hear this story that the students were encouraged at conference to ask the Holy Spirit to give them a dream. And I hope that it was a great dream. And, you know, that can kind of sound like Tangled, right? Like, I've got a dream. I just want to see the floating lanterns gleam. I hope it was a great dream. But it wasn't a dream that they were just like, I've got to do this. I've got to exalt myself. I've got to accomplish this great thing. Because what was the first part? They were to ask the Holy Spirit to speak a dream. And that makes such a huge difference. The dream isn't some lofty thing that I need to achieve. It's something that God has spoken into my life. And so that I can humbly submit to, I can say, God, I don't, my heart's not lifted up. My eyes aren't high. I don't walk among things that are too great or wonderful for me. But I trust your word that you've spoken to me. And I know that you are the awesome God who can fulfill it. Or I think of Pastor Rob a couple of weeks ago in his ordination ceremony when he shared about these three times that God has spoken so specifically and very clearly to his heart. And he's like, two of them have happened and the third one hasn't yet, so I won't share that. Doesn't that kind of get you when he says it? Come on, tell me, what is it? But you know, Pastor Rob doesn't need to work and achieve and say, I need to get myself up there to fulfill this third thing because it's something God's spoken to him. So what he needs to do is trust God. That's what he does. You can see he's like, I don't know, you know, when God does it, he'll do it, right? Trust God and God will fulfill it. So the humility that has God in the picture, the Christian humility has great hope as well. Because God speaks, because God acts, it puts it into a whole different category. It doesn't have to be this lofty heart or lifted eyes. But instead there's this confidence that we see in some of the other songs of ascent, right, that I already read. Unless the Lord builds a house, the laborer builds in vain, right? But if the Lord does build the house, then who can stand against us, you know? If I'm doing something that God has called me to, wow, well, then that's powerful, right? If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been swallowed alive. But guess what? The Lord was on our side, and so we're still here. Because my confidence wasn't in myself, my confidence wasn't in what I could do, but God was on my side. And so there's humility, but also great hope. I wrote a song when I was in the hospital several years ago, and it was a time when I was really weak, and you know it's hard. It's like, well, what, you know, what can I do right now? And one of the lines that I think it was one of the first lines that kind of came to me was, "I'm only who I'm meant to be when I'm in you, and I have everything I need for what you've called me to." In other words, God, if you call me, you equip me. Give me what I need, and I don't need anything else other than what I need for what you've called me to, right? And then the kind of tag at the end was said, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible when the maker speaks, when he says go, nothing is impossible because God has spoken. Not that I exalt myself, but because God has spoken. I wasn't well, but I could trust that whatever God was truly calling me to, he would equip me for. If he said go, nothing could stand against it. So humility doesn't mean apathy. Humility means recognizing where we are and our limitation and finiteness, but still having hope because of God. I'm kind of going ahead, but I felt like I needed to go ahead a little bit. And so the psalmist says, God, I'm not trying to pretend to be anything impressive. I'm not trying to overreach. I know who I am and my limitations. And so then let's go to part two. He says, but, or probably even stronger than that, something like, instead, I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, my soul is like the weaned child that is with me. And so, as I've mentioned a couple times already this morning, I haven't been up here in a while because I've been spending more time at home with our little baby. And Karis isn't weaned. She's only 6 weeks old. And she doesn't even know how to control her gas inside of her and stuff. So she's got a ways to go. But sometimes Karis has everything she needs. She's taken it all in. She's let it all out, you know. She is content. And when she is, she's just totally at peace. Just there, held and at peace. That's the picture that the psalmist gives. And the picture of a weaned baby is similar, right? The weaned baby has everything they need already. They had a little, baby food or something. And now they can be at peace and content and just snuggling. It's hard to kind of think of a more peaceful picture, I think, hey? Than just to snuggle with mama or dada. I've gotten to do some snuggling with our bigger boys because they've been sick and, they're feeling less bouncy, we'd say, around our house. And so you just, or Karis when she's got everything you need. It's like, I feel at peace just holding them, It's like, oh, I'm very tired, but this is medicine to the soul. And this is what the psalmist says that he has done to his soul. He has quieted and calmed his soul, his self, so that he's like a weaned infant with its mother. And the picture is of the psalmist doing something with himself. Maybe that's kind of a funny picture, I don't know. But it's not the only place this kind of thing happens in the Psalms. You might recognize this line if you've read the Psalms before. This is pretty common through the Psalms. Bless the Lord. Yeah, oh my soul. In other words, hey soul, bless the Lord. Ben, you should bless the Lord right now. You're talk, self-talk, right? Talking to myself, saying, bless the Lord, myself. Bless the Lord. And so the psalmist is doing a similar thing here. It's not just speaking. It's not like, hey, bless the Lord. Here the psalmist is calming and quieting his soul till his soul is like a weaned baby lying on him. And when I say soul, it's not like this like disembodied. Maybe a better way of saying it is just his self. He's calming and quieting himself until his self is at peace, at that much peace, like a little weaned baby. It's like, shh, little self, it's okay, right? Pat, 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 That's kind of the picture. It's kind of funny, but it is beautiful as well. He's quieted and calmed himself till he's totally at peace. And then the psalm finishes with this line, O Israel, hope in Yahweh from this time on and forevermore. And that last line really brings this psalm kind of into its place in this corpus of the songs of ascent. It brings back this theme of trust in the Lord, wait in the Lord, wait for the Lord, hope in the Lord. All Israel, hope in the Lord. Brings it into the kind of setting where he's talking to his neighbors, his countrymen. He's saying, hope in the Lord. But it's not just random. It totally makes sense. It fits right into what we've been reading. Because it couldn't have just been self-talk that the psalmist doing. He couldn't have just been saying, it's okay, little self. It's okay. I've got you. Like, what does that even mean? I've got myself. That doesn't make sense. But it's this line that he says to the people of Israel that enables us to quiet our souls, just like the psalmist quieted his soul. We don't say, it's okay, I've got you. We say, it's okay, wait for Yahweh, hope for Yahweh. He's got you, right? He's got you. Trust in the Lord from now till forevermore, now and always. And so how, though, do the kind of two parts of this psalm fit together? Because we started out talking about humility and how he kept saying, I am not proud, I am not exalted, I'm humble, all these things. But then this kind of image of the baby being comforted and at peace, that seems like it's more talking about like anxiety, right? Like, I don't need to worry because God's got me. So how does that fit together? Why does the first verse talk about being proud and the second verse talks about being calmed and quieted? Here's the thing, and hear me out. I know anxiety is a big issue, and I know there are sometimes different factors. But here's the thing. Anxiety and pride are often not too distant of cousins. Often we are anxious because, in the end, we trust ourselves more than God. We walk among things too great and wonderful for us. Our hearts and eyes are exalted too high. We believe that ultimately we're the ones with the capacity to solve what needs to be solved and achieve what needs to be achieved, but we're not. We're like infants, and we need to be quieted by the hope we have in God. Last night, I was at a wedding, at Darren and Hallie's wedding. It was beautiful. And I hope this is okay to share. I'm sharing it anyway. It's nothing personal. There was a dance where Darren danced with his mom, the groom, and mother of the groom dance. And they played the song, The Goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And as they danced, the people who were at the wedding began to sing along with the song. And it was such a beautiful moment. Hearing all these voices testifying to this together, saying, I have trusted you, and you have led me through fire with mercy, and I've always been pursued by your goodness. The room testifying like a weaned infant, you've carried me. You have carried me. And as I've been reading the Psalms of Ascents recently, my soul has been mothered by them. They've spoken to my soul and reminded me, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborer builds in vain. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been swallowed alive. Like the mountains surround Taras, the Lord surrounds his people. The one who watches over me doesn't sleep. Wait for the Lord. He's got you. But it takes work to mother our souls. Like the psalmist, we have to be active in mothering our souls. He says, I have calmed and quieted my soul. Because our tendency is to think of ourselves as adults, right? We have to fix the problems. We have to achieve the stuff. We have to protect ourselves. We have to provide for ourselves, whatever it is. But the Psalms of Ascents remind us again and again that it's God who achieves great things. It's God who protects us. It's God who answers our needs. And these things, in fact, are too great and wonderful for us. They're far beyond us. And so we need to do the work of calming and quieting ourselves. Wait on the Lord now and always. I found the Psalms of Ascents a great remedy for feelings of anxiety. They remind me who is high above all heights, And who can walk as Lord among the most great and wonderful things? Wait for Yahweh. Wait for the Lord. Hope in him now and always. If he calls you to something crazy, it's no need to worry. He's got you. When life seems too crazy, don't worry. Wait for the Lord. And so we're gonna finish in a time of prayer. Let me just grab some water. And there will be prayer teams to that side over there and that side, just kind of in the corner. If you need prayer, you're free to go out. But before we do that, I'd like to invite the worship team up. And we're just going to have some time. We've been doing this a lot lately to just pause and reflect. And I'd like you to practice a little bit of mothering yourself, a little bit of mothering your soul. Remind yourself of the goodness of God and his trustworthiness. Calm your soul, quiet your soul. And again, this isn't something that you're just going to do this morning and you're going to be like, hey, I'm good now. You know, we have the tendency in the opposite direction. And so I would encourage you too, these Psalms of Ascents have been beautiful for me. And I think they would be for you too, as you read them and say, yes, I can trust in this, Lord. So I'll pray for all of us, and then we'll just have a time that's just quiet. And encourage you to quiet your souls, calm and quiet your souls. Wait for the Lord and trust in him. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Lord, we want to acknowledge this morning that that we have at times just tried to walk among things too great and marvelous for us. We've lifted up our hearts and our eyes in pride, in belief in ourselves that goes beyond belief in you. And so this morning we want to humble ourselves and look to you and acknowledge that you are good. You are high above all the things that we encounter in life. You are trustworthy, and you are Lord. So would you quiet and calm our hearts this morning, like a mother calms a little baby, and that we would be like this little weaned baby with the mother. As we come to you and remind ourselves to trust in you, remind ourselves of your trustworthiness. We wait for you and hope in you and know your goodness through the fire, in your mercy, in our lives, Lord. We know your goodness and that you are the able one. You are the strong one. In Jesus' name, amen.